Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and go through verse 13 as we speak of the first 3 days of creation. Creation week, days 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice today in the privilege of being back in your house. We thank you for everyone who's come. We ask, Lord, that you would take this most important part of our service and use it to instruct us, to draw us close to yourself, to make us more awesome at all, Lord, when we think of you, an awesome God. Help us to reverence you today, to worship you. And Lord, help us to marvel as we think about what you did just in 3 days. Lord, I pray that there's one here today who has never trusted Jesus. They might be brought to the realization that they're a sinner and they need salvation, and that they might believe that Jesus died for them, rose again, paying the price for their sin, is ready, willing, and able to save them if they will come to him. For those of us, Lord, who maybe have drifted away from you, if there are those here today, Lord, who are out of fellowship with the Lord, we pray that you bring them back today into a place of fellowship with you. May you get honor and glory for yourself through this message. Accomplish your will and give enablement to bring it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We began our series in Genesis a couple weeks ago as we gave some fundamental truths found in the fascinating book called the Book of Genesis. Those fundamental truths were as follows. First of all, there is one God. There is one God. The Bible establishes that. God made the universe, and so he was the originator. He was the creator of all that is. He made the universe. The third thing is that order and complexity come from the all-wise, all-powerful God. All the order and all the complexity you see around us and above us and even underneath us is made by an orderly, all-wise, all-powerful God. Also, God made the earth capable of sustaining life, which he made. So God made life, but before he made the life, he made earth capable of sustaining life, which he made. Also, God made the original man and the original woman. They came from God. Another truth is that God instituted marriage as the basis for families in a stable society. God did that. Another truth we find in the book of Genesis is that evil began when man rebelled against God, and it was called sin. And another thing along with that is we find in the book of Genesis that God judges sin. God does judge when people sin. Another truth we found was that God instituted worship, and he desires that man have a relationship with him. We saw that in Adam, And we see it even after that, when man sinned, that God made it so that man could still have a relationship with him. So God desires worship. Another truth that we found that is so important for us to understand events today, and that is that God formed the nation Israel for his purpose. Why is the nation Israel still around? With all the attempts to obliterate them, why are they still here and so strong? It's because God made the nation of Israel and he has a purpose for them. Now, all these fundamental truths are essential for us to understand life. Therefore, it's not surprising when man rejects the Bible, and particularly the book of Genesis, that life ceases to make sense and society breaks down, and the deterioration of society is actually the lack of knowledge of these fundamental truths that we've just mentioned. Today, we want to look at the first 3 days of creation, as detailed by the one eyewitness account that we have in all the world, one eyewitness account, written by the only eyewitness, and that is God himself. So God was there when it happened, and we should listen to what he has to say. It's amazing that there are so many ideas today of how the world got here. And the intelligentsia, you might say, the learned people, supposedly, try to tell us how they believe it got here. And isn't it amazing that many of them believe it all started with a Big Bang, the only orderly explosion ever, and they think it started with a Big Bang. All of those ideas, and you would think that you would listen to one person who was there, who saw it happen and wrote about it, and that's God. But they don't want to know about that. But let's begin this morning as we look at day one. Day one is described in verses 1 to 5. Now, verses 1 to 2, I believe, are included in day one. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now that is the first day, verses 1 through 5. The reason I say verses 1 and 2 are included in day 1 is because Exodus 20, verse 11, a very foundational verse that you really need to know and you can refer to often, it says this: for in 6 days, God created the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. So the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in it, God created. So the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, God created in 6 days. So that puts verses 1 and 2 in day 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it was without form and void at first, and darkness upon the face of the deep. But God created that, and so that's in day one. Now let's look at the words as we see them beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, what does that mean? I believe that's the beginning of time. The beginning of time. Our universe is made up of a combination of space, matter, and time. And God made that. In the beginning, God. God who inhabits eternity, in other words, he was there before it all happened. He inhabits eternity. He made time. He made a universe that operates in time, and it consists of space, and it consists of matter, and it consists of time. And God made that. God outside of it, inhabiting eternity, made what we call the universe, and he made that. And so in the beginning, so when God made it, when God started time, he was already there. The eternal God was there. Now it says in the beginning, God. The word God there, as we commented 2 weeks ago in the first message on Genesis, is the word Elohim. It ends ending there, I-M, which is plural. And so it's a plural word having a singular meaning. And that allows for the Trinity. God is one, and yet he exists in three persons. You can actually see the three persons right in the beginning here. In the beginning, God, God the Father, it says, created the heaven and the earth. And then it says in verse 3, and God said, Now, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Word of God. God said, that's Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So God the Father, the Word, God the Son, and verse 2, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Now, back a few Sundays ago, I preached on who is Jesus. And one of the points on who is Jesus is, he is the Creator God. And we have several verses that say that Jesus is the Creator God. But that does not mean that any of the other persons of the Trinity didn't have a part in it. They did. But Jesus is the Word that spoke and it came into existence. But God the Father was there. He had a part in it. God the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So all are involved. But the Lord says, when you say who the Creator God is, God says, I'm going to give that to the Son. He's spoken into existence, the Son of God. So this is Elohim. This is God, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then it says, in the beginning, God created. The word created in the Hebrew is the word bara, which means he made something exist out of something that didn't exist. In other words, he made something out of nothing. There was nothing existing, and God just spoke it into existence. That is creation. He created it, and so God created. The evolutionists believe in eternal matter. You know, evolution, they go way back billions of years ago, and they have to have something to start with. So they believe in eternal matter. There was something there at the beginning that started it, and so they believe in eternal matter. We don't believe in eternal matter. We believe in eternal God. And the eternal God made matter. And so in the beginning, God created. God made it out of nothing. He created it. And then it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven. The word heaven there is the word that has the idea of space. God created space. God inhabits eternity. But he makes a universe, and it begins with a glob of material. We'll look at that in a minute. And then space. Now, the stars and the moon and all that are not there yet. The sun's not there yet. But God made the space. So God created the heaven. It's space. And then no heavenly bodies in it. And then he created the earth. Now, it describes the earth in verses 1 and 2. I believe it was a mass of matter consisting of elements that were necessary for what would become the globe or the earth that we call, the globe that we call earth. But it was without form, the Bible says. That means it was unformed. It was a mass of matter out there. Probably a mixture of water and elements and all of that. It was out there. God made it that way first because God has a plan and purpose of what he's going to do with it. And so God makes it that way. And then the Bible says it without form and void. This is in verse 2. Void means empty. And so the original created earth was a mass of matter and water, all of that together. And it was without form, not a globe size, not a particular size, just a big mass out there. And it was void. It was uninhabited. There was nothing on it. That's the way it began. And then he says this, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, darkness here does not imply evil. Darkness here just implies the absence of light. And so darkness is upon the face of the deep. So on the face or on the surface of this glob of mass that he made out there that would become earth, the Bible says there was darkness over the face of the deep. This unformed mass might have been in the background, you might say, of what Peter was talking about. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, in the last days, scoffers will mock because they are willingly ignorant. Now, we'll see some evidence of that tonight. Very brilliant people who are willingly ignorant. They will not accept what the Bible says, and so they come up with something else. They're willingly ignorant. But it says this, they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That might be a picture of this very thing. And that is, by the word of God, God spoke, the earth was there, standing out of the water and in the water. It was all mixed up. It was just one big glob there. And maybe it's also referenced in Proverbs chapter 8. If you want to turn there, or you can just listen, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24 says this, "When there were no depths, I was brought forth." Now, he's talking there about wisdom. And wisdom personified is probably Jesus. So he says Jesus was in eternity past. "When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the high part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth." Now that might be just a picture of what the Lord made it, and the wisdom says, I was there before that. When he set a compass on the face of the depth. It's interesting that I looked this up, and scholars, Hebrew scholars say the word compass there is the same word that's used in Isaiah 40, verse 22, when it says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, you know, it was a long time before men ever figured out the earth was round. They were the flat earthers. In fact, they're still flat earthers. Many years ago, they believed if you got on the ocean and you traveled far enough, you'd just fall off because the earth was flat. But the Bible said, many years before they ever found it out, that the earth was a circle. It says, he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the word circle there is the same word that's used there in Proverbs about compass. And so the Lord is making something. He knows what it's going to be. And yet there's this mass out there that God makes to start with. Then another thing we might point out on that first day is that, not this text, this text doesn't say it, but it's implied by others. And that is, the angels probably were created on the first day. The first day of the week, or maybe the second day of the week. Why do we say that? Well, Exodus 20, remember that foundational verse that you need to know? Verse 11. In 6 days, God made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and what? All that in them is. Everything that's in the heaven, the earth, the sea, God made it in 6 days. Well, one of the things that's in the heaven are the angels. So when did God make the angels? It was within the 6 days. In the 6 days, that's referenced in the book of Job. Job chapter 38. It says this in verse 4. God is questioning Job, and he says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Job, you weren't there when I laid the foundation of the earth. You feel like saying that to these scientists today. Well, where were you when God did all this? You're coming up with all these answers, but there's somebody that was there that's telling you how it happened. But he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Wherefore are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" And then he says this, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now that's a reference to angels. And when God laid the foundations of the earth, the angels were there and they shouted. They praised God for what he was doing. And so it seems like God made them on at least on the first day or maybe the second day. That depends on where the foundations are. Is the foundation on verse 2 where it says God moved upon the face of the waters? Or is the foundation at verse 9? When God says, "Let the dry land appear," I believe it was probably the first. So I think it was probably the first day, maybe the second day, but the angels were there. And God made them probably on the first day of the week. Now, I want to comment this morning because if you have a Scofield Bible, it teaches this. I don't believe it's true, but the Scofield Bible teaches this. I used the Scofield Bible for years, but it's a good Bible, good reference Bible. But I think it's wrong on this particular point. And that is they propose what's called a gap theory. And that is there was a gap between verses 1 and 2. The reason they did that was back years ago when they came up with this. It wasn't Scofield that came up with it, but when they did, they were having all these scientists tell about all these geological ages. And these geological ages, they need to do something with them. So they decide, well, maybe it's true that the earth is so old and these millions of years and all these geologic ages we need to account for. So we found a way. They said, I believe they're between verses 1 and 2. And the reasoning was this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then they say that the devil fell from heaven. He fell in sin. And then he came down to God's original earth, and he brought destruction to that so that it was without form and void. And they interpret that as meaning destroyed, you know, or all messed up. And no order here. And the devil caused that to happen. And then they say, after that, then the Lord, God said, verse 2, earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So they say, between verses 1 and 2, there was a judgment because the devil came down and he came to this earth, he messed things up, and so that's what we find in verse number 2, all the disorder, and then God steps in and brings it all back to where it should be. Well, I don't believe that's true. I don't believe it's necessary because I believe that we should just let God be God and let God say what he says. And God very plainly says that God created the heaven, the earth, and then he describes how it was at the very beginning without form and void. And then God began to work. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the gap theory really is out of date. Not too many people believe it anymore, but it really is fallacious, I think. And then verse 3 says, on the day 1, also God made the light. God said, let there be light. Now let me emphasize, this is before the sun. This is before the moon. This is before the stars. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. And so God's setting up this cycle of night and day at the very beginning. Now let's reason for just a minute. You know, the scientists tell us that stars are many thousands of light years away. A light year is the distance that it would take to travel at the speed of light for 1 year. So the speed of light traveling for 1 year, then they would say there was thousands of light years away. Oh, that's so far. Then in order for that light to get here, the earth would have to be like billions of years old because the light couldn't get here. But God says, that's not the way it happened. I made the light before I made the light bearers. God made the light first. It's not hard for God to do. And so God can make the light, and the light's already there, and then later he makes the things that are going to continue the light coming, and God just makes it continuous so it looks like it would be impossible for the light to get here in that matter of time. And God says, no, I made the light first. So it really solves the problem there. And really, when God says something, it doesn't matter what the problems are. We should believe it regardless. Somebody told a lady said one time to the pastor, she said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. He said, no, ma'am, that's not true. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And that's true. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So day one has those things that we said. God made the heaven and the earth, at first without form and void. Then the Spirit of God began to move on the waters, and God made the light, and divide the light from the day. The light he called day, and the darkness he called night. Then we go to day two. Day two speaks of the firmament. Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, God made a firmament. The firmament is an expanse. One writer expressed it like this: spread out thinness or space. God called the firmament heaven. So God called the firmament heaven. Now, earlier he made the heaven and the earth, but then when he makes the firmament, he calls it heaven. Just what is the firmament? Well, in the Bible, there's three things that are referenced as heaven. The Bible says the atmospheric heaven where the birds fly, that's heaven. And Jeremiah 4, verse 25 says, all the birds of the heaven. And then there's the outer space heaven where the planets and the stars are. Isaiah 13, verse 10 says, the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof. And then there's the heaven where God dwells. And Hebrews 9, 24 says, for Christ is entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And 1 Peter 3, 22 says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. So God is in heaven. So three heavens, atmospheric heaven, outer space heaven, and then where God dwells, the three heavens. But this firmament is probably what we would consider the atmospheric heaven today, and then beyond that all the way up to the ionosphere, and all that would probably be what is called the firmament. But then God says that he took the waters and separated them. So there are waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. You remember the original earth was a mass of material covered with water. And the Bible says that he makes a firmament then, he makes the light, and then he makes a firmament, and he divides the waters below the firmament and waters above the firmament. It seems like God puts a big canopy of water around the earth above this firmament. Now, this firmament was probably hundreds of miles high, and God made this canopy of water. Many have proposed that. It's called the canopy theory, and then other theories as well, that God made a water vapor canopy over all the earth. Water vapor is invisible. And so you'd be able to see the stars and the sun, all that above that canopy. And yet that water vapor over all the earth, I was going to read it tonight, today, but I won't take time. I'll just give you the gist of it. And that is that water vapor over all the earth would serve as a, have a greenhouse effect so that it would filter out harmful rays. It would make the earth's temperature equal all over the earth. And therefore, they can dig down in the polar regions. They can dig down in places where there's the ice caps and all that, where there's snow today. And they'll find that down in there, there was once lush vegetation and oil fields because of that lush vegetation. They find that dinosaurs existed in places that would, are very cold. Why is that? Because over all the earth at that time, there was like a greenhouse effect. And all the earth was like tropical or would be very good weather. Also, that canopy would mean that there would not be harsh storms or rain or anything like that. And so the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6 that when Noah had the, when the flood of Noah's day took place, that there had been no rain up to that time. No rain. How is that possible? It wouldn't be possible in the earth that we live in today, the way it is. But it'd be possible if this huge canopy of water, that water above the firmament, was all around the earth. It would also be an explanation for the longevity of man, because man would not have all the harmful effects of the sun. It would be a very much, much nicer climate to live in, and man would live longer because of it. And so the Bible speaks of Methuselah lived 969 years old. I met a guy the other day. He was helping me, I think, at Lowe's. His name was Jared. I saw it on his shirt. I said, Jared, I have a son named Jared. And I said, you know where the name Jared comes from? He said, I think it's the Bible, but I don't know what it is. And I said, well, Jared was the second oldest man in the Bible, 962 years old. And then I said, and I believe that. And I do. Because I believe there was a canopy of water, vapor across all over the world, around the world, that protected it. So God divided the waters, and he made this canopy over it, or he made the firmament between the waters below and the waters above. And so we have that explanation in verse in day number two. Then we have day number three. Day number three is an exciting day because a lot of things happen on day number three. The waters under the heaven were gathered together in one place. So the waters under the firmament, which would be the waters still covering all the earth, still covering all that mass, you know, that God originally made, the waters were still covering all of that. And then the Bible says the waters under the heaven, verse 9 and verse 10, were gathered together, and God formed the seas. Now, how that happened was that God made the dry land appear, so the solid earth came up and the seas and the water ran off of the solid earth into places called seas, basins of water, probably huge basins of water, not like the oceans today, because the oceans today, the flood took place. They formed these. This is before the flood. And so there was earth and there were seas. The dry land was called earth. The gathering together of the waters was called seas. Now think of that great power of God that took place on that day. God had all these materials necessary for what he was going to do on the earth. He made that on day one. And now he's making the dry land to appear. Now out of that big mass of material that God had there on day one, God begins to form the earth the way he wants it to be formed. And that would involve a lot of things. Different minerals and rocks that were in that earth would come together in ways that God wanted to make, and probably forming the different minerals and maybe even gold and things like that. But God made it, and then God made the earth to form so that it had what we find out today, and that is it had a crust and a mantle and then a core. I did some reading on the crust, the mantle, and the core. The crust of the earth is between 50 miles deep and some places less than a mile deep. It consists of all kinds of rocks and dirt, the crust of the earth. It makes up for just about probably a 0.5% of the mass of all the earth, the crust of the earth. Underneath the crust is the mantle of the earth. It's made up of a layer of silicate rock, the mantle of the earth. The mantle of the earth is 1,800 miles thick. 1,800 miles thick. It makes up 84% of the mass of the earth. And then in the middle is what they call the core. There are no samples from the core. They haven't gotten down that deep. I remember years ago, reading on the manhole project. I think the manhole project probably fell in. But they were trying to get down there. But it tells us in the center of the earth is the core, and the core is 760 miles thick. Now, I don't know how they determine all that, and I'm not real sure, but it's a big place called the earth. But in day three, God took that mass of elements, and he begins to form it to be what he wants it to be, and he makes this earth with the sea and the solid earth there, and that earth had that crust and the mantle and the core. In the middle of that core, we're told they're estimated that it's more than 9,800 degrees Fahrenheit. Now that's hot. Now, the Bible tells us that hell today is in the center of the earth. I don't want to go there, do you? I sure would not want to go there. But that's the earth, and God made the earth, the dry land appear, and the seas come into existence. So the solid earth appeared above the water. And then God says that he made vegetation. Vegetation. He describes that when he says, and it says in verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Three classifications. Grass, that's the ground cover vegetation, like we think of as grass. And then the herb, the word herb actually means plants. It would probably include shrubs and bushes and maybe tomatoes and beans and, you know, all those good things. And so it would be the plants. And then God made the trees. Those would be the large woody trees. And that would include the fruit-bearing trees, like the apple tree and the pear tree and the plum tree and the orange tree and all those. God made all those on the third day. But then it tells us something about these trees and these herbs. And that is, God made them and they were full grown. Full grown. You know the old question, what comes first, the chicken and the egg? The Bible gives the answer. The chicken. The chicken. What came first? The flower or the plant that the flower was on? Neither. They both came at the same time. What came first, the apple tree or the apple on the tree? Neither. Both of them came at the same time. And God made trees and all these other vegetation immediately, and so they were full grown. So it's not an evolution. It's a speaking into existence, and he has the fertile soil there that he's made, and that soil has been prepared by God with the nutrients that the plants need, and then God puts the plant on there fully grown. So 1 second, you would see that earth with nothing but dry land appear, and the next second, it's all full of vegetation. And you could walk up to a tree already there. Now, probably if you cut that tree down, you'd find that there were no growth rings because it didn't grow. God made it. It was there just at the beginning. And then he says the fruit was already on the tree and the seed inside the fruit. That's amazing. God is so great and so powerful and so wonderful that he could do that. And the tree would be already be there, and the fruit would already be on the tree, and inside the fruit was the seed to carry on so that it could be another tree or another plant like that. And so God made that, and it was all ready. The appearance of age, it looked like it had been there a long time, but God just made it. Now, the Bible says he made them after his kind. The other day, I've been toying with having a garden again this year. I haven't for a few years. And I cleared out a bunch of lumber that I had stacked behind my woodshed. And after I got it all cleared out, I looked, and there's a bare piece of land. And I thought, ah, garden. I don't even have to plow it. I could just dig it some and be ready. So on Monday of this past week, I planted some beans. You know, say, that's a little late to plant beans. Well, I always plant them late if I have a garden because I don't want anything coming in while I'm at Bible camp. So these will come in later in the year, but they'll still make it. And do you know that yesterday morning, I went out, and the beans are already up. Now, let me tell you something else about those beans. Those bean seeds have been in a plastic container inside our freezer for probably 3 years. Frozen beans, 3 years, put them in the ground, phew, there they are. They grow. Who could do that? God could. God is great. So much happened on that third day. And God made the plants with the seeds already in it there. And then God said, it's good. Look at verse 10. And God said, when the dry land earth appeared, God said, it's good. Verse 12, and he brought forth the grass and the herb and the trees, and he said, it's good. Verse 18, it says, and he made the lights in the heaven to rule the day, and he said, and the night, and it says, it's verse 18, it's good. And then verse 21, God created the whales, every living creature that moveth in the waters, and he said, it's good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth, the cattle upon and the creeping things upon the earth, and he said, it was good. And then verse 31, the Bible, and that's the sixth day, by the way. And then verse 31, it says, and God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Let me say something this morning. I would rather believe in a God who made things and said it's very good than to believe in evolution that comes up with this crazy story, how things evolved and how things got better even though things deteriorate. And we're finally here, you know. But God said, no, I did it the right way. I created it, and it was good. And I would not want to stand up against God and say, no, God, that's not good. What you tell is not good. That's what they're doing in our universities today. They're saying, this book isn't any good. What God says isn't good. We have a better idea. No, God said it was good. In fact, it was very good. Now, let me stress something else. This vegetation was made before there were any insects or bees. What does vegetation need to pollinate? Insects and bees. But God made it before that. Now, he makes them later, 2 days later, or 3 days later. But that's no problem with God. Also, God made this vegetation before the sun. All vegetation needs sunlight. God says, no, I made it before the sun. It's just in every way this passage confounds the evolutionists and says they don't know what they're talking about. In fact, the evolutionists say that vegetation came about after marine creatures. God says, no, I made it before that. And so God totally contradicts everything the evolutionists say, and they are wrong, and God is right. Now let's review. Day one, God created the heavens and the earth, the angels, the light, the day, and the night. Day two, God made the firmament that divide the waters below from the waters above. Day three, the waters were gathered together in the seas. The dry land appeared, the earth, the vegetation, and all that, the grass, the plants, the trees. Much accomplished in three 24-hour days by a great God. And God says, nothing is impossible with God. Amazing 3 days. Well, all we have seen so far in this study of the first 3 days helps us to see that this whole universe is geocentric. Now, geocentric means it's centered around the earth. Now, that doesn't mean it revolves around the earth, but God's whole purpose is the earth, and everything else is in relation to the earth. You see, God made the earth first, and then he followed that with other things in relation to the earth. And so the biblical understanding, I believe, we can get from the book of Genesis, and I make no apology for this, and that is that the biblical understanding is there is no life on any other planet. It's only on the earth. And God seems to make that clear in the book of Genesis. No life on any other planet. How special that is. That God made man after he made a place for man to dwell in. He got it all set up for man. He made an earth that would support man, and made an earth that man could explore for years to come, and he's still exploring it. And then he made man. And then after that, he made the stars and the sun and the moon for seasons and all of that. And God seems to make it all for man. It's interesting that later he says this, and after he made the sun and the moon, and then he says, and he made the stars also. You look at that, and the stars are so much bigger. I mean, bigger than the sun. And you think, why do that? Well, the stars are simple in comparison to the earth. And God says, I made the stars also. Why does God make all the magnitude up there in the heavens? Because he has a man on earth that he made in his own image. And he wants that man to look up into heavens and say, God, you are so great. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So, we surely serve a special God. Today, we've seen day three come to a close, and we stop to marvel at the greatness of our God. When you look around and see the complexity that we have all around us, you wonder, how could anybody look at what we have and who we are and say there is no God? The Bible gives an answer to that. In Peter, he says they're willingly ignorant. And then in Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Tonight, when we view the video, you are firsthand going to hear some fools. Oh, they have a lot of degrees behind their names. But many of them are fools because they reject God and reject his word. But the great thing about it is that this God who's so wise and so powerful is also a God. When man sinned, God loved him. Because God is a good God. And God loved man. And he provided a way of salvation for him. And so later he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And this great God of the universe loved us so much. The Bible says God so loved the world that he made, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Christian should never be embarrassed to believe the word of God. You should be able to stand up against anybody, I don't care how smart they are and how educated they are, and say, I believe the word of God, and it's an eyewitness account, and the only eyewitness that was there was God. He wrote it. I believe him. I don't believe you. May God help us to be believers and to honor him. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to look into this passage. See these wonderful truths about what you did in the first 3 days. Lord, we thank you that you're a great God, but you're also a good God. We thank you, Lord, that you're a merciful God, and that you sent Jesus to die for us. If there's anybody here who has not trusted the Lord as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day they put their faith in him before it's everlastingly too late. We ask in Jesus' name.